Well, it is nice to see everybody here this morning. We got a full crowd here for class. It's certainly encouraging to have you with us. We have some new faces with us this morning as well. So we've been in a study. We've been looking at evangelism. And for those of you that haven't been here for our previous few lessons, just so you're not confused by the time you leave class this morning, we are approaching evangelism a little bit differently. We're trying to kind of get our how-to evangelism kind of out of our minds for the time being. I think from time to time we can get so hung up on trying to find the perfect method to evangelize. We get so hung up on how are we going to evangelize that it kind of leads to not evangelizing at all. We as a church for a long time now have been trying to find that perfect way, that three-step program. This is how we are going to evangelize in every situation. And as we mentioned last week, I don't think it exists. I don't think that there is the end-all, be-all solution to how to evangelize. So what we're trying to do in kind of our title that we've looked at is evangelism starts with us. And what we're trying to do in this class is equip ourselves as individuals with the tools and the characteristics and the traits that we need to have to evangelize effectively and successfully. God has given us every tool that we need to effectively evangelize, but we have to open up our Bibles. And we have to find what it is that God wants from us. We find what it is and how it is that God wants us to be so that we can effectively evangelize. And our goal, obviously, is for evangelism just to become who we are. We want evangelism to be just what we do, because that's what we are striving for. That's what we're trying to grow into. We are trying to let Jesus change our lives. And we are trying to continue to grow in Him to the point that evangelism is second nature to us. To the point that evangelism is just how we are and what we do. One of the things that we talked about to begin this class was, why is it so hard for us to evangelize? Why is it so scary, if you will, this evangelism? And it's because it's uncomfortable, right? It's not something that we do on a normal basis. It feels awkward to us, and it scares us a little bit. So as we grow with these traits and these characteristics that God wants us to have, it becomes just what we do. Now it's no longer uncomfortable. It's just how we are. So we've been looking at this picture. We're metaphorically jumping on this evangelism train, if you will. God is driving this train. And what we are doing each and every week is we're letting God pull that train into a different station, and we're wanting to hook up a different car. We want to make sure that we are hooked up to God. So as it pulls in, we're looking at these traits, we're looking at these characteristics, we're looking at what God wants us to be and how we can grow with God. And we're trying to build this complete train, right? We want everything that we need to have. So we're letting God stop. He's picking up these different parts of our lives so that we can be complete driving down. We started out with our tracks. Week one, we looked at, where are our tracks headed? In life, we have a lot of different tracks. But every track that we need to be on, every track that we find ourselves on, and there's a lot of them. We have our families and our relationships and our jobs and our finances and our health. We're going to find ourselves on these different tracks, but are all those tracks pointing to God? We want to make sure that every track we're on is all headed in the right direction, that it all has the same final destination. Because we're going to let God pull us, and God's only going to one place. So we got to make sure we're with Him, okay? We're on those tracks. Last week we stopped. We started into relationship. This was three parts. We looked at part one last week of this relationship, and this isn't just any relationship, okay? This is our right relationship with God. We have to have the right relationship with God. So we ask ourselves, what does that right relationship look like? What is the right relationship with God? Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of the law? And we looked at Matthew 22, Mark 12, and Luke 10. Jesus gives us that answer of what this right relationship with God looks like. It's summed up in the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus says everything we have hinges on this commandment. If we want the right relationship with God, it starts here. So we're pulling in, we're getting this relationship going. Last week we did part one. We looked at loving the Lord your God with all of your heart. And this week we want to look at loving God with all of our soul. So it brings us to our question. Loving with all our heart versus all of our soul. What's the difference? What's the difference between loving God with all of your heart versus loving God with all of your soul? Is there a difference?
Okay, I'll jump in.
Jump in.
I wasn't here last week.
Okay. Okay.
And the soul is just who you are.
Okay. Did everybody hear that? Any other thoughts? What is loving with all of our heart versus all of our soul? Last week we looked at loving with our hearts. And we started the class with the question, when you hear the word love, and you hear the word heart, what comes to mind? Emotions, our feelings, right? We talk about how we feel and the things that we love. I'm a simple guy, so I try to make things as simple as I can make them make sense in my head. This loving God with our heart, this is our physical side of things. This is our emotions. This is our feelings, right? These are our desires, our affections. And what we looked at last week is, are those desires, all are those affections that we have, are they conforming our lives to the things that please God? Those things that we're desiring, those things that we are seeking after, are we loving the things that God loves? We want to love God with all of our heart. So are we looking at the things that God wants us to love? We discussed in length how easy it is for us to love a lot of different things. We say it on a daily basis. I love watching football. I love playing golf. I love going fishing. We can quote unquote love a lot of things. But are they what God wants us to love? They make us feel good. But are we giving our hearts to God? And again, with this class, our goal, we want to make sure that we're shaping ourselves, that we are transforming ourselves into what God wants us to be. And the question comes up with every class, what does this have to do with evangelism? What does loving God with all of our heart have to do with evangelism? Well, we discussed that last week. And again, we came up with those things that we love to do. And the question we asked was, how easy is it for us to share and talk about those things that we love? How easy is it for us to meet a new coworker and find out within a few moments that they have similar interests that we have? We can sit and talk for hours about what we put our hearts into. We can talk for hours about those things that we love. And if we're giving all of our heart, if we are loving God with all of our hearts, then it should become easy for us to talk about God. It's what we love. It's what's in our hearts. It's what's in our minds at the time, is God, our love for God. Cliff brought up a point, and Holly and I talked about it, and Cliff, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're trying to understand the gist. Cliff made the comment last week that don't we need to love our brothers? Don't we need to love one another to show our love of God. And how important and how crucial is it to have a love for one another to show our love to God? And we talked about it a little bit, and there are a lot of people that we are going to meet in our lives that don't know what it is to be loved. There are a lot of people in our lives that don't know what it is to love God. And if we don't set the example first of loving one another, how can we teach anyone about loving God? Was that about the gist, Cliff, of what you were talking last week?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. So we love God with all of our hearts. So now what's our difference? What is the difference between loving with our hearts and loving with our soul? We have something unique to us that nothing else has. We have a soul, and that soul completes us. It makes us whole.
We can't live without it.
Okay? When we talk about loving God with our soul, we are now talking about all of us. Every bit of our being. Again, simple guy. We looked at emotions and our physical side of things. We are looking at our spiritual side of things with loving God with all of our soul. We want to be 100% complete in God. So we love God through our purpose. Are we pursuing the things God would have us pursue with our entire being and our character? Are we pursuing holiness? Are we pursuing godliness? Every aspect of our lives, what we do, our actions, how we use our abilities, are we giving all of that to God? Or are we holding something back? Because as we discussed last week with some of those things that we love, is there anything wrong with having those desires in life? Is there anything wrong with having those things that make us feel good, the things that we enjoy doing? Is there anything wrong with that? No. When do they become wrong? When you become obsessed with them, okay? When they take the place. When those desires, when those loves that we have start to creep in and take the place. And they start to detach us from God. That's when they're not good anymore. That's when our love's been taken away and we are no longer loving with all that we have. So as we love with our souls, what are we going to pursue? And is every bit of our being, I thought of the word character, there's probably better words to use, but who we are we loving God with every bit of our being? God does not want us to be a half-hearted people. Kurt looks like he had to step out. Anybody remember what church we were studying last Sunday morning, on Sunday morning? Service? What was that? Laodicea. What was Jesus' issue with the church in Laodicea?
Lukewarm.
They were lukewarm. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They were just there. Right? God doesn't want us to be just here. Jesus told the church in Laodicea, this is what I don't like. This is what needs to be corrected. You are not giving me everything. Just part of it. God does not want half-hearted people. Any thoughts, comments? This is a discussion class for those of you that might be new here this morning. So if you, at any point in time you have something to add, a question, a comment, just jump up and shout it out. So what are we pursuing? We want to love God with all of our soul. What are we pursuing? As we go into the book of Ecclesiastes, we got Solomon here. Solomon's going to figure out life for us. Right? He's going to get it all figured out. Tell us what it is. And as we go through the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is going to use a word over and over and over through this book. Anybody know what that word is?
Meaningless.
Solomon's going to tell us there's a lot of things here on this earth that are meaningless. Those things that from time to time we might find ourselves really wanting to pursue. Says they're meaningless. We want to pursue our riches. Meaningless. Advancement, our status. Meaningless. Gaining all the wisdom of the world. Meaningless. Why is it meaningless? Okay. Solomon says all of us have the same fate. What is it? We're all going to die. Everything that you could possibly pursue here on earth, what good is that going to be to us? These are hard things. I struggle with this one, right? This pursuing thing. Because again, is it wrong to pursue? Is it wrong to have some desires? We read stuff like this and we think, man, I can't do anything. I need to sit in the corner 24 hours a day and just think about nothing but God. Is that what God's telling us? Does God want us to have fulfilling lives? Sure He does. But again, back to, are they taking place of God? Solomon ends Ecclesiastes in chapter 12. If somebody has that open, read verse 13.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Solomon says, what's our duty? What's our purpose? What should we be pursuing? Keeping God's commandments. What are we looking at as the greatest commandment that Jesus says we got? Loving the Lord our God with our hearts and our souls and our minds. Pursuit of God. Let's go over to the book of Psalms. When I think of someone that wanted to pursue God, the person I think of is David. I don't know about you, but that's the person that comes to my mind. It comes to my mind because what do we call David? What do we refer to David? The man after what? God's own heart. What is God's pursuit? What is God's pursuit? Every man be saved. God wants us to be with Him. And if David is the man after God's own heart, that means David has a pursuit to be with God. That is where he puts his emphasis. And David struggled with this, right? We know the story of David. We know no one's perfect. In fact, you can look at David's life and we can say there was points in time in David's life where he was not pursuing God. What is our one big, egregious pursuit that David had? What was her name? To the point of having her husband killed. David's pursuit was in the wrong spot. But we know that David's heart was pricked, right? David understood that he needed to change and he needed to pursue God. And we get to Psalm 27. If you want to turn to Psalm 27, we'll read down through verse 4. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. And here we are. One thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. What is the pursuit? The only thing David says, I want to seek. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord as a purpose. Psalm 73, verse 25, we read very similar. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. Where is the pursuit? If we're going to love God with all of our soul, it means we are pursuing God in everything that we do. It means our heart is looking to God. Our pursuit is no longer here on earth. Our soul is longing to be with God for eternity. That's where we put our drive. It's where we put our love. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is going to give us a parable here. Familiar to all of us. But Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Is the pursuit the kingdom of heaven? When we understand that there is nothing of greater value than the kingdom of heaven, means we are loving God with all of our souls. It means that is where we are putting our emphasis. Again, I got to be honest, I struggle with these things. I struggle with giving God every bit of me. It's hard. Is there a difference between goals and pursuits? We can't wander aimlessly in this life, can we? Of course not. I have goals in my life. I have a goal that I want to make sure that my family is taken care of. I want to make sure that we are in a position that if something were to happen to me, my family's going to be okay. Is that wrong to have that kind of a pursuit? When does it become wrong to have that kind of a pursuit? Am I willing to forsake God for that goal? What about our motives behind our goals and our pursuits? What if my motive to make sure that my family is taken care of is strictly to keep up with the Joneses? I got a problem. Right? But what if my goal of making sure my family is taken care of is done because I want to give my whole soul love to God, that I want to live a godly life that says I take care of my family, that I want to live a godly life that says I am setting an example to my son on how to be a godly man. I am showing my son and my wife what it means to be a godly husband and a godly father. If our pursuit is with those things in mind, are we loving God with all of our soul? Sure we are. I would love to be able to perfect this class condense this down, where we could go to other congregations and other churches and share this message. But why would I want to do that? Do I want to do that to be recognized? Is my pursuit valid at that point? What if we want to do that because we love our brotherhood? What if we want to do that because we would love to be able to share ways to help churches evangelize? If we're doing it with those motives, are we doing it with the love of God in our soul? Sure we are. Take me down a rabbit hole. Go for it. Just don't ask a hard question. Sounds like a hard question to me. Go ahead.
I mean, there's a group meeting tonight. I got a thing on Facebook from a group that's meeting tonight, and they're starting a new church in Windsor. I guess it's already been there for a month or so. You know, and there's a piece of me that says, why wouldn't we want to go and see what they're doing and say, you know, and see what it is that they're teaching, with a concern that if they're starting up this new group, you know, are they going to be teaching God's word, or are they going to be putting on another show? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that worry me more than anything. I feel like, you know, we hear the path is narrow and the gate, you know, and all that stuff. But boy, you see it more and more and more with all these mega churches developing and these groups that have this, you know, church entertainment stuff, you know. And it scares me. It just terrifies me because I'm thinking, you know, I have good friends that think they're worshiping God the way he's asked. But if we never walk in the door and we never say anything, what have you done? Sorry.
Anybody want to continue down that sidetrack?
Definitely.
Could go for days on that one, right? We have a lot of concerns about our evangelism and how to reach the world and how to make sure that we want everybody. God wants everybody, right? That's what we've been talking about. God is pursuing mankind. God is pursuing us to be with him. And so, yeah, I don't like to use the word discouraging, but I think we get discouraged frequently when we start thinking about some of these things. Man, can we even be impactful? Can we compete? Right?
We don't have to compete.
No, we don't.
And I'll just throw one more line in on this. You know, it's like this new group, you know, they don't have a place to worship. You know, they're renting space or using homes or whatever. You know, and I'm thinking, if we could just share with them, we have a place, we have room, we have plants, we have...
Tell them we need all of them because we're going to build that new building here before too long.
You know, I'm just saying, it's one of those things that I just hate when I see that.
Sure. Any other thoughts, comments? I don't know that we want to chase that rabbit, but... So who are we? Okay, We said we want to make sure if we're going to love God with all of our soul that we are pursuing those things, we have a purpose, and we wanted to talk about our character. Are we living godly life? Are we striving for a holy, godly life? Peter, in his book of 1 Peter, will tell us to be holy. Why? Because God is holy. We are striving to be like God. And we looked at this first verse last week. This 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. And I think it applies to both because we ask the question, is there a difference between loving with the heart, loving with the soul? Do they not all kind of combine into one? It's a little bigger scale, right? A lot of these things, just correlate. They just keep working with one another. But we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and Paul was talking about that veil. You remember that veil? Hiding the glory of God. And what did Paul say about that veil as we start turning and looking to God?
It's not there.
It's not there. That veil's lifted. That veil goes up, and Paul likens it to a mirror. And what does he tell us? As that veil is lifted, what are we looking at?
The glory of the Lord.
The glory of the Lord. We are now reflecting back the glory of God. And our question and how we ended the week last week and what we dug into was, are we reflecting God? Does our love for one another, does our love for God, does our concerns and our loves for the lost, is that a reflection of God in our lives? And what happens is those things start to creep back into our lives. What happens to that veil? Probably starts coming back down a little bit, right? That glory of God starts to become hidden. What we are trying to represent in our lives is becoming less and less and less of the glory of God. So we're striving for this glory of God. Move over to chapter 7 there of 2 Corinthians. We read, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." We know what we're pursuing. We're pursuing eternity, right? We're pursuing God. We want to give God all of our soul. And now we're told if that's where we're going, we have the promise that we can get there. But we have to purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. Remember what sets us apart from everything else? We have a spirit. We have a soul. We are made in God's image. Therefore, let's get rid of all those things. We start reading these things, and this sounds like a kind of a tall task, doesn't it? Kind of a tall order. Can we even live up to these things? Can we even do this? Well, we read 1 John last week, and we read what love is and where love comes from. Can we do it on our own? No. God has shown us what love is. God has put love into us. But we have got to get out of our own way from time to time. Get rid of those things. Any thoughts or comments? We're going through this quick because we want to make sure we get to the end of class here, but we'll make sure everybody has a chance to.
Can our holiness be perfect?
Can our holiness be perfect? Anybody got an answer for that one? Define perfect. Can we be perfect on our own? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Of course not. Can our holiness be perfect in God's sight?
Yes.
Yes, it can.
It has to be.
Has to be. How is it perfect in God's sight?
Blood of Jesus.
Are we pursuing with our soul God? Because if we are, then we're going to let Jesus change our lives, right? That's what we've been talking about. Jesus, change us. We got to be transformed into what God wants us to be. And as we start to imitate Jesus, we're going to look at some of that here in just a second. As we imitate those things, those examples that Jesus has set for us, are we becoming holy? Sure we are. Any other thoughts?
I think a lot of what you're saying kind of comes down to, you know, kind of the old phrase, you are what you eat.
You are what you eat.
And you just kind of need to
I'm full pause. Of baloney.
Right? Right? We need to pause every day and, you know, what are we feeding ourselves? You know, what comes in, what we put in is ultimately, we talked about that mirror, that glass, that reflection. You know, we need to be careful what we're putting into, because that's what the world is going to see. So we need to, you know, focus. There's a lot too on I think meditation, because now I'm not talking about Middle Eastern meditation, but I just mean throughout your day, where's your mind?
Okay.
Where's your mind? Even when you're busy, you can be busy, but still, like when someone comes up to you, and how are you gonna respond to that person in a tense, stressful moment, maybe? So there's lots that go into basically what people see when they look at us, and it has to come down to what we're putting into our minds.
Okay, that is a perfect segue. What does this have to do with evangelism? What does loving God with all of our soul have to do with our evangelism? Bob just brought it up. What we put in is what we are going to put back out. And again, back to our question in that 2 Corinthians, does everything about us reflect God? How we act, what we do, how we are seen, is that always reflecting God? Because that's what we're striving for. I'm not saying we're there. This is, we got to work at this. But how does this evangelize? How does this aspect of our life become evangelistic? How does the world see us? And can I effectively evangelize if I do not reflect through every aspect of my life God? Can I be effective? I mean, I can try. I can talk to you till I'm blue in the face. But as long as the part of me that you see isn't reflecting God, as long as the part of me that you see says, why are you telling me to change? You're no different than I am. Can we effectively evangelize? And I don't think we can. So as we strive and as we grow and as we look for this deep soul love for God, again, we're trying to develop those aspects of our lives. We're trying to grow into who we are. And who we are and who we want to be reflects God at all point in time. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 2. We're about out of time this morning. Philippians chapter 2. As you read through the book of Philippians, we start reading about living a life worthy of the gospel, imitating Christ and his humility. And we get down to verse 14 of chapter 2, Philippians. And I want to look at this particular statement because I think this sums up how loving God with all of our heart and all of our soul helps us evangelize. He's talking about making sure that we continue to obey. They're going to leave. Make sure that they, the church here continues in the teaching, continues to grow. And he's talking about grumbling and arguing, but I don't want us to really pay attention about that so much. But starting in verse 15, that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And here we are. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. As we strive and as we pursue God, we now become shining stars. Our lights will shine in a dark world. We have our children's songs, right? What's the children's song we know of? Grown Up and VBS. This Little Light of Mine. What are some of those verses? Are we going to hide it under a bushel? No. Don't let Satan it out. Right? We sing those. Let our light shine. I think all of us can probably think of an individual that you have known. Maybe it's someone that is impressing on your life right now. But we all know of somebody that we can honestly say reflects God, shows the love of God in their lives, tries to make us better, tries to push us in the direction that we need to be. And it's not a forced, hard effort on their part. It's just who they are. Everybody know someone like that? I do. We had a dear brother, Mr. Eubanks, here. And if you never had the privilege of knowing Bob, that was an individual that loved God. Loved God. And it showed in his life. I will honestly tell you, I would not be standing up here this morning trying to teach if it wasn't for Bob. Because Bob said, "Brother, you have got to pursue God and use your abilities. Use your talents that God has given you." And Bob pushed. But it wasn't a forceful, uncomfortable. It was a, let God touch your heart. We are out of time this morning. Is there any thoughts or comments? I know we have to run through some of these things quick to get through these classes, but nothing? Well, I appreciate your time this morning, the comments. Lord willing, next week, we're going to look at the last part of that commandment. We're going to talk about loving God with our minds. Okay? So hopefully we see you next week. Thank you.